finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, Sales Funnel Radio? I want to share with you guys a story real quick that I know I've shared in the past, but it's actually been a long time. And if you've been following for a super long time, I met a guy recently. He said he's listened to every Sales Funnel Radio episode twice, which, shout out, love that. That's awesome. Thank you so much. If you've been a super long time listener, maybe you've heard this, but, or if you've come to one of my in-person events or things like that, maybe you've heard it, but this story really changed my life. I was in college and I had suddenly gotten to the realization that my marketing degree was a dime a dozen and that there was going to be literally no advantage, career wise with the degree that I got. You know, nothing that really would set me apart. I'm never going to rag on college. I think it's a good thing. I think people should still go to it, but I think they go with the wrong expectation. They always think that you're going to go to learn how to make money. That's not why you go to school. You go to school to learn how to learn, right? Become a master of your own brain, you know, or at least get the tools for that. And so anyway, I knew that going in, and so I was there to learn how to learn. And I'm never gonna back on it. But I was in school and I was like, hey, dime a dozen. I got to come up with some tangible, actual, literal skill set from school, because this is the part in school where I started getting almost straight A's almost every semester, and I was doing really well and accelerating. It's cool. It's the first time in my entire academic career that I ever was doing really, really well. I remember I ran into this guy's stuff named Russell Brunson, and I start taking I'm reading his books, you know, and I'm going through his stuff, and I'm reading them, you know, in crazy situations and scenarios, and in the military and stuff like that, and it's fascinating. So I'm reading these books, I'm going through it, and I remember my head at that season of life was just spinning with the number one question being, what will I be when I grow up? Right, which is kind of like the number one question almost everyone is facing when you go to school. But it's also not a question that leaves you, I feel like, you know, for most adults, or at least a lot of them. And so I remember one day I sat there and I realized I am going to go try to be the best funnel builder in the planet. And I remember I could take you to where I was standing when I said that to myself. I was very serious. I was looking at myself in the mirror. I was getting ready one day, you know, going to school and all this stuff. And the stuff was on my mind. And suddenly I just was like, I got to get serious about what I want. And what I wanted, right, at that time was for me to... I had learned enough about funnels, you know. I had learned enough about... And it was finally to this time where I was like, okay, you know, am I going to get serious about this and go all in? Meaning, stop doing other things, or am I just going to keep dabbling? All right, and the reason this matters so much is because I'd given myself license to actually explore and not be good at anything I was going to go explore, and I needed that just in my life. And in fact, I'm finding that I repeatedly need to give that license to myself. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to go explore Age of Exploration. It may not make sense to people on the outside, but I'm going to go, ooh, let's go over here. Let's try this for a while. Yeah, let's try this for a while. And it looks unfocused, but it's so funny how it always ties back together somehow in the end. Even if it's years down the line a little bit. Anyway, so let me fast forward. I've got to go way faster here. No, I started realizing, though, I want to go be the best funnel builder on the planet. And I remember this so intimately because how hard it was for me to choose what I want to do with my life. Now, am I the best funnel builder on the planet? Probably not. Right? No, but the pursuit of it is what was interesting and what started opening up all these doors. You know, the active pursuit. You know, I think it's one of the most key pieces about pursuing your dreams is recognizing that the thing that you're going after, you might reach it, but if you don't, that doesn't mean that it's a failure. You know, it might just have been the thing that opened up all these other doors, and now you actually have a new goal, right? That's totally fine. I don't think that means that you failed at all. In fact, if I had not looked myself in the mirror and said, I'm going to try to be the best funnel builder on the planet, I would not have traded my, you know, funnels for plane tickets and hotel nights. And I would not have traded funnels for, I wouldn't have done all that stuff. I wouldn't have worked for Russell. I wouldn't have, you know, a lot of people have thought that I, you know, got hired there and then became a funnel builder. I was a good funnel builder before. Why would he hire me if I wasn't already good? He's Russell. All right. So anyway, the reason I bring this up is because, shortly after I decided, and you know, I was still in school, I was like, man, I'm going to go be the best funnel builder on the planet. Shortly after that, I was, I started trying to see if I could build my own products and launch them. And you know, I was probably on, I was on product try my own products, try number 17 when I actually found out what a funnel even is. You know, I hadn't had any real good wins. And so I was feeling a little embarrassed by that. And I was like, you know, if I'm going to be the best funnel builder and if I haven't had a product to take off, like I probably shouldn't practice on my own products because building a funnel and building a product are two totally different skill sets, right? Totally different skill sets. You can be an amazing product or builder, which is an entrepreneur, and know nothing about funnels. And that's fine, right? Again, vice versa. So, and you see that. And you see people who are like, I know I'm a funnel builder, therefore I'm an entrepreneur. I'm like, those are two different things though. And I knew that back then. So what I started doing is I started going and working with, I was like, how can I stack all the cards in my favor towards success? And that was my question. It might sound kind of a silly question to ask yourself, but I don't know, I've always been kind of a weird dude, so whatever. I was like, how can I stack all the cards in my favor in terms of my own success learning funnels? So I started building funnels for really big companies, right? And or at least existing companies, I should say. And so much has happened in 10 years. that was about 11 years ago. I said that to myself, by the way. That's crazy to me. Blows my mind. I remember though, what started happening. So I started building funnels for these different startups. So I was like, some of them had gotten funding, or there was like a sales structure, you know, or there was like, they already had a product, right? And I didn't have any of those things that were, at least it was working anyway. And proven. And so I decided that I would start just doing it with these other companies. And that way the funnel was the only variable that I'd be testing. And I remember I did that for probably 6 months to 9 months. And it wasn't just like, oh, I do this when I have free time. I was making time. You know what I mean? No Netflix. You know what I mean? I really stripped everything out of my life to see how much time I could actually just allocate toward becoming the best funnel builder on the planet. And so I gave up a lot of stuff. I didn't go to any parties. It's so funny whenever you watch like Hollywood, you know, movies and there's like the college scene. I was like, I don't even know. not once did I ever like total bookworm, 100% a nerd and proud of it, you know? So anyway, about 6, 7, 8, 9 months in, the first Funnel Hacking Live happens, and I was absolutely just torn apart at the reality that I could not go to Funnel Hacking Live. I knew it would change my life because there was no other person in my entire life that was trying to do what I was doing. And when people would ask me, like, what are you going to go do with your life? And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go be a funnel builder. And they're like, what? You know, it was such a new concept, even in the business world. It's not like the college world had caught up with the concept. Like, there was no one else doing it. The person I knew on the face of the planet living that was doing this was Russell. And so it's so funny. Like, when sometimes people take it like as a badge of honor. It's like, oh, entrepreneurship is a lonely game. And I'm like, well, that's stupid self-fulfilling prophecy. Don't do that to yourself, right? It doesn't have to be lonely. It's like, that means you're doing it wrong, or whatever you're doing is so unique. No one has had to follow you yet, right? And so I was definitely going through that, and it was definitely lonely. Well, anyway, the first few startups, 6, 7, 8, 9 months in, something like that I was building funnels for, I started realizing that none of them had enough crap figured out. They were too new of businesses to really value the funnel. Like, I would go do all this work to build a funnel, and I'd be like in the middle of my English classes and different, you know, history classes and economics, and I'd like pop my laptop open, like sneakily, like I'd be building funnels. And one of my best friends, you know, in college, he and I met because I was trying to integrate Stripe with ClickFunnels, and he was looking over my shoulder and he's like, "You know what Stripe is?" And I was like, "You know what Stripe is?" And anyway, so I remember though, like 6 months in or whatever, like these startups I was trying to build funnels for, this is such a big lesson in this, guys. Really stick with me when I say this. This is not just like weird ad lib storytelling here, okay? Because I'm going to go full circle here also with this. This has been hot on my mind for the last week. And this story just, it really was my first introduction to this entire principle. So I decided to stop building funnels for startups. And the reason was because they didn't have enough crap figured out. It was very easy for them to blame the funnel. It was very easy for them. I'd go do all this work. I'd build the pages, you know. And I mean, I was in the army too. Married, kids, right? I was married to my ex-wife. Like, life was really busy. Like, the amount of time I was squeezing out every day was a couple of hours. And even this, you know, if then, I was exhausted, you know, like. That's why I just have like no sympathy or empathy for someone who's just like, "I don't have a lot of time." And I'm like, suck it up, because no one else is going to make your time for you. All right, just go for it. So anyway, I digress. So I realized though, and it was probably the third or fourth funnel failure for these different startup companies that I was putting together involved in. It was not my business. But this pattern popped up. But like every time we'd put the funnel together, you know, and it was kind of a newer product that it was someone else's, but it wasn't mine, but also wasn't really tested. We'd go launch the funnel. And granted, I understand launches way more now. Holy smokes. It was really fascinating how frequently, it was not frequent, it was every time. They're like, "Something's wrong with the funnel." And I remember this specific company that I was doing it for. Their fulfillment sucked. Like they had no, as soon as a purchase happened, there was no drawn out processes. There was no automation. There was no person overseeing it. It was just like the business owner was like, you fulfill. And that's not, people aren't processes, right? People aren't systems. People are definitely not business systems. So it was easy. Even back then, I remember looking at this and going like, "Well, I know why your thing's going to fail. You have a great product, but you're so freaking new. You think that the funnel's the issue. It's like, your product sucks, right? Or like, you don't know who your customer is." I remember that on a big one. That was another one during that time. They had no idea who they were selling to. They're trying, if you had a heartbeat and a wallet, they're like trying to pitch you, you know? It was not a network marketing company, but might as well have been, right? The stereotypical thing that you think about that. So anyway, it was fascinating to go through this. And I remember it was at this time when I started recognizing that if I was going to go learn how to be a good funnel builder under somebody else's business wing, it needed to be an existing business. And so I wrote down criteria on what I wanted the company to be like that I was going to go do different work for. And just like you go hunt down a customer, I was going to hunt down a client to build a funnel for free. And so I wrote down, it's like my dream funnel building client already has a business, already has a product that's already selling. The product is at least $1,000. That way, you know, if I sell an extra 10 books a month, it doesn't really do much to the bottom line. But if their product is like $1,000, my thought process back then was like, well, then I at least can show some notable, you know, bump in their, you know, in their financials. And so I wrote down the criteria of who I wanted to work with. Existing business, existing product. I remember I wrote down also that they had to be keeping a track of an existing list, right? Buyer's list, yes, but preferably like another list, right? Just the big list of all the people that you go. And I went on to LinkedIn and I started scraping and looking for and collecting and by hand pulling out all of these businesses that were number one, you know, existing, Number two, you had a product for $1,000 or more. Number three, they had a buyer's list. And I wrote, it was probably about 100 because I was learning about the Dream 100 concept and I was like, interesting. So let me try it. So I pulled out like 100 different businesses and I didn't care if they were local or, you know, all over the U.S., but I did want them to be U.S. based. And I totally played the college card. I was like, hey, what's up? I'm a student. You know, I'm trying to learn this thing called funnel building, which is like a really cool way to sell stuff on the internet. And what I remember what I wrote to them, my pitch was, I said, because I wanted to make it a deal for them, right? My question was, how can I make this a deal for the other person so that there's no risk, right? So what I wrote down was, I said, hey, I know you don't know me, but I'm in college right now. I'm trying to build these things called sales funnels on the internet. It helps you get, but they're better than websites. And honestly, I'm trying to find a business that I could do this to for free just to get some experience. Okay. You don't have to pay me. I do need you to just pay like, you know, for a couple pieces of software. But besides that, like, that's it. I will go do all of it. I will do all the work. I'll do everything. And if it makes sales, I'd love to talk about getting paid. But if it doesn't, no harm, no foul, I'll walk away. That was my pitch. And I tailored it a little bit, but it's generally the exact same thing. And I shotgun emailed and messaged, blasted that. You know, it was before Facebook Live. It was before all this stuff. I blasted that. And I ended up getting like 3 or 4 responses. And it was cool because then I started cherry picking who I wanted to work with. And cherry picking. And I found this company and such an awesome guy. A lot of respect for him. Anyway, he was selling like water filters and they were doing a great job at it and crushing it. And he responded. He's like, sure, go for it. I was like, okay, cool. And I didn't have a ClickFunnels account. I'd never really logged into ClickFunnels, right? I just knew that I could figure it out, right? Give me a goal. If someone else is doing it, I'm going to figure it out. That was my mentality. So I was not already like, the way I was building funnels for those other companies, by the way, was I was using like GetResponse. If you know that email service, they had like this squeeze page thing that you could use. And I was trying, it took me forever, but I was building like pages with GetResponse squeeze page stuff. And I was like, I was still building a quote unquote funnel, but it was not in the sense that most, you know, you or I would describe it right now. But it was still a funnel. anyway, I should do a whole other podcast on what a funnel actually is. So I got really into it. And I remember that I worked for probably 3 months.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
you know, and I remember it was winter because I was like sprinting to classes because I was squeezing out like literally every second. I ran to most of my classes. It's not that I was late always. I don't know, that or I'd read a lot. So I'd either read or sprint between classes a lot. I started getting really good at getting all my homework done within about like 3 or 4 hours every day, so I could just build funnels the rest of the day till like midnight or two. And then I'd have class again at 7:30 and cycle continued. And I did that for a long time. Which is, you know, fine, whatever, you know. I really love that about David Goggins' first book, where he's like, hey, if you need to get from point A to point B or you got some goal, like, come up with your own training plan. Don't wait for someone else to try to give it to you. They don't know all your scenarios. Just like, come up with one and then start doing stuff and then like tweak it as you go. But anyway, all right, so that's what I was doing. Obviously, his book was nowhere near out, but anyway, so here's the crux of the story. Okay. I was so jacked to launch this thing. I had done so much research. I rebuilt their entire internet presence. And it was a really interesting, how I really got started. Like, they were using Infusionsoft. So I actually started as an Infusionsoft integrating kind of guy, and I got really good at integrating Infusionsoft with ClickFunnels. And it's one of the reasons why they knew who I was when I got my first funnel hacking live. It was like, they literally said, you're that guy pulling off all that Star Wars ninja crap in our software. And I was like, what? They're like, you are, you need to come. And just cause I'm like, look, let's find a way. I hate, no is a stupid word. Well, it's a beautiful word in some things, but anyway, so I go to launch this funnel and done lots of research, multiple ask campaigns, if you'd ever done any of those, and had a pretty good bead and read on the customer trying to go for. And we ended up, it was like 50 grand in the first month, you know, that came through the funnels. And I was just, I mean, it was more money. I was living on student loans, you know, and army. You know, army salary, which is nothing. It's like, so 50 grand. That was not my money, of course. It was for the business. But just to see that volume, and I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. You know, just it dropped all of these, any remaining false beliefs I wasn't even conscious of yet. It's just like melting away, you know. But how it happened was really fascinating. The first day I put it out there, and the CEO called me, and he was like, holy cow. This is awesome. Look at all these sales coming in. Wow. You know, he was jacked. You know, wow, this is awesome. And I remember the next day, and I remember I walked away for that first conversation. I was like, sup? I am the man, right? Just like psyched, you know, like because it had been years of failure. You know, I'd been through so many product failures of my own. Just it felt, even though it was not my money, just to have that win was something that I just really, it meant so much to me, guys. Like, I was proud of it. So, so proud of it. It's weird because I didn't really know anyone I could talk to about it, you know? So anyway, first day I'm jacked. Second day, the CEO calls me and he's like, whoa, okay. Hey, he said, I remember he literally asked, he's like, are the sales going to continue at this rate forever? And I was like, hopefully, son, right? Let's go, baby. Who doesn't want, well, let's go. And I remember he asked, he's like, could you turn it off or slow it down? And I had no idea how to do that. And so I remember I just said, like, who wants less sales? You know, it was for a physical product, right? So any of you guys in the physical product area, you know some of the issues that can happen if you sell too quick, right? Which is why you have to build a faucet. That's why I have my thing called the lead flow flywheel. You can slow down the lead flow if you need to. It builds like a spigot, right? It's like a faucet that it builds. I know that now, you know, 11 years ago, I didn't know any of that stuff, but... Anyway, so I'm putting out all this stuff and we're continuing to launch. And I remember by the third or fourth day, he called me and he was just super frustrated. The CEO called and he was like, turn it off, turn the funnel off, turn it off. And I was like, who wants less sales? Click. And I hung up, which is stupid. And I feel bad that I ever did that. And the reality was I had no idea how to do what he was asking. No idea. And he kept trying to call for a couple days. And I remember like even like a week had gone by and sales are still coming in. And he's, you know, I can tell he's really busy and stressed, but I don't know with what. I'm like, this is a reason to celebrate. this is an amazing, this is a cause for sale. What are you talking? Let's go throw a party. All right. It's kind of like my thought, although I'd never had been to one, anyway. So I kind of was avoiding his phone calls a little bit. I remember it was a couple weeks in, he calls me and pretty much first thing out of his mouth, turn it off. And I go to say the same line I was before, who wants less sales? And he basically screams through the phone, you're going to bankrupt me. I was like, that, what? It shook me. I can still feel it in my solar plexus right now. The way he said it, it slapped me so hard. He said, you're going to bankrupt me. And I was just flooded with confusion. I was like, how is this going to bankrupt you? That makes no sense. And he goes, Steven, we sell a physical product. He goes, you're selling so fast that I have to take the cash on hand that's in my business and buy more product all the time. He goes, I can't pay my people. He goes, you're literally selling too quickly. I can't pay my people. You're going to run me out of business. And I was like, oh my gosh. I had no idea. I didn't even know it was a thing, you know, like this shows you how much of a guppy I was in entrepreneurship and truly business ownership, rather. But it messed with my head. It blew my mind. The fact that you could even sell too much too fast, you know, and suddenly all these conversations about how you can scale and scale well, all these lessons, they just started making sense why people say that, right? And this is, granted, 11 years ago, it's very different now, but like, you understand, like it was a big realization for me that really slapped me and was a hard thing for me to hear. And so I don't really remember how I was able to kind of like shut it down. Maybe just redirected it or something. I don't know. Anyway, so I bring that up. That's actually the first of three times that's ever happened to me. And I'd even say three and a half, where you sell too much that you almost bankrupt a business. I did it two more times with Russell, and I remember the same thing happened. He and I were talking. We're like, we're building, you know, fast forward a while, you know, and I'm now working for Russell in his office next to him, and we were building funnels and cranking them out. We were building for different people and different clients, and I wasn't really hired as ClickFunnels funnel builder when I first got there. It was Russell's funnel builder. So we were building all these funnels for like really big people. We weren't really doing much with ClickFunnels then. For the first 6 months I worked there, we really didn't build many funnels for ClickFunnels. It was like, you know, we were building funnels for, who's the dude on CNBC, the TV show, The Prophet? Marcus Lemonis. I built five different funnels for that TV show, which is super cool. Not always by myself. I want to just help you know, like, my point, we were doing funnels for really, really big people and big situations. And every time, the reality is so funny. We would go put the funnel out and they'd be like, this is awesome. And then they would never do anything with it. And we almost bankrupt two other companies for selling too fast. All right. Which is a great problem to have, but it's like, it's not crazy to do, by the way. If you want me to build your funnel, I'm happy to do it. Go to funneltactics.com. But it's, it was a massive eye-opener that a funnel, it's so funny, man. 11 years ago, when that first one happened, I did think that a funnel was a business. I just thought that that's how it was. I have a funnel, therefore I have a business. They are totally different things. We call them a sales funnel, right? It's a sales function. It's not even a marketing function. We don't call it a marketing funnel for a reason. It's a sales funnel. That's why so many people that build a sales funnel, they're like, it doesn't work. I'm like, you didn't do any marketing. Stop asking a sales function to do a marketing thing. That's not what it's meant for. Sales funnels are not meant for marketing. They're the catchers. They capture the effects of the marketing you're doing. They're not actually the marketing itself, right? And so it was a really big thing for me to realize. Super, super hardcore lesson for me, because I continued to believe that a funnel was a business. And it's funny what I'm running into even right now. There's just, I think there's nothing more powerful you can do for your own leverage than to realize that leverage is a byproduct of systems. And if you don't have any, you're the system. And if you're getting burnt out, that's why. Right? So none of us are good at everything. Right? And one of the things that, so that's the big lesson. I want you to look at your business. I want you to look at it. I want you to think about it. I want you to go, wow, What do I have natural talent and skill in? Natural desire to continue to do? Is it funnel building? If it's not, stop. Find someone else to cover down on that role, right? If it's marketing, then honestly, like, I'm not saying you can be only a marketer, not an entrepreneur, only a marketer, not a business owner, but understand where you're really great and understand where you really suck, right? Or understand the things that you can do kind of good, but not world-class and never will. Business is a team sport. And one of the biggest things, the reason I'm bringing this up, man, is over the last 2 weeks, I have done a lot of work to stop having so much stuff on my shoulders. I'm good at it from the business things. Assistant stuff, you know, finance stuff and taxes and HR. I hate that crap, right? And I've got like people and processes in place for those things, and it's great, right? And of course, it could use improvement. There's no situation in any business where that's not true. It could always use improvement, but it's different, right? There's at least some kind of band-aid there. But it's been interesting because I feel like what's been happening over the last year, really, is a stark realization of on what systems and machines are needed to be put in place so that you are not the marketing engine or fuel, right? You are not the sales engine or fuel, right? And this is one of the, I think, of the dangers of the attractive character model. I love the attractive character model. It's one of the best ways to stand a business up. It's one of the best ways to grow an audience. It's one of the best ways to get brand. But it is not an excuse to not build business systems. A funnel is not a business system, right? It is in the area of sales, right? Whatever you build, but nothing else. And so people will, oh yeah, we got great fulfillment. We built a funnel. I'm like, that's not the same thing at all. Yeah, we got a great marketing because we built a funnel. What? It's called a sales funnel, not a marketing funnel. Totally different things. Like, marketing is what happens before page one of your funnel, right? So that's the big thing. That's the big lesson, as I wanted to bring to you and help you see, is like, this is a sales funnel radio. And if what you've been building is just funnels, there, I want to just bring to your awareness the reality that there is a massive difference, huge skill set, so big that it's its own career in what it means to build the business versus the product. One is the business owner, one's the entrepreneur. And if you're not great at the business owner stuff, I'm not saying you got to give up business ownership, right? Or rather CEO role. But I hate being a CEO. I hate it. It is not my natural. I hate it so much. It's not my natural thing. I hate it. Okay. I just want to go. I'm a really good entrepreneur, and I'm a top in class marketer, but you know, there's certainly others that are better than I am. And I'd say that I'm like A- funnel builder. You know what I mean? But in terms of like, and that's just because I've been doing this for 10, 11 years now, right? Like, I've been doing it for a while and held a lot of different roles, right? I have my own entrepreneurship formula. Has nothing to do with marketing or funnel building. I have my own funnel building formula. Has nothing to do with entrepreneurship, you know, or marketing. And then I have my own marketing for. I've just been in this space long enough that I've created my own proprietary systems and formulas. That's why everyone like, you know, people like my stuff. But sales and marketing and entrepreneurship still aren't a whole business, right? Then you got to keep design and fulfillment, right? Then there's the actual business structure itself. Do you have team meetings? Do you have team quarterly goals? Do you have weekly commitments with each person? Does everything come back to you when a decision needs to be made? If it does, you have a broken machine, right? If you have to reach down to the people who work for you and ask for information, it's a broken system. The Army taught me that, right? The same reason why everyone flows information to the higher command, just always. They're not reaching down unless they have a specific question, but everyone's informing up, right? Same thing in a business structure. If you don't have anyone else in your business, you have a broken system. People make terrible machines. You do not make a good machine. You just don't. You're going to get tired one day. I mean, it's kind of the Energizer Bunny, and it's known for that. But the Energizer Bunny thing, I mean, it wore out, man. And freaking burnt me out so hard, I can't even express it. Like, I know I was gone for like two, three years there. And it was a combination of a lot of things that were going on in my personal life. But also, like, right at the bud of what was going on was sheer, legitimate, absolute, utter burnout. Right? I had run the system. I was the system. I was the machine. That was, like, this really started like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And then I'd say it was really only in the last like 18 months that I've come out of it. with just totally new eyes. And I'm like, wow, if I'm going to build something of value, if I'm going to build something that is, you know, that rather than focusing on keeping the entire pie, how can I make the pie bigger? Right? That's a much better question to be asking. All right. So anyway, I'm just hoping that you take it. All I wanted to do in this episode is for you to realize and recognize again that I had in this story, back to the water filter story and the funnel and all that stuff, I built a fantastic funnel sales machine. I built a pretty good marketing machine at that time. Fulfillment wasn't up to snuff, and it wasn't his fault. There's like the seesaw thing that happens in business where it's like you build epic fulfillment, which starts to cost a little bit more, and then you're like, oh crap, we better increase our sales. So then you start increasing your sales, and then you start making so much money, right, that fulfillment starts to like dip down just a little bit. Don't feel bad about it. It happens to literally every company on the planet. And then you're like, okay, we better slow down sales just a little bit so we can make fulfillment epic again. Then we make fulfillment epic again. It comes world class. And then over here on the funnel side and then the sales side is like, oh man, our fulfillment starts to cost a lot. It's the seesaw back and forth. Seesaw, seesaw, seesaw. Recognize where you tend to have a talent in more so. If you're like more of a business builder, that doesn't mean entrepreneur. Usually entrepreneurs are not great business builders. They're good product and sales and marketing machine builders. But that's a totally different thing than the role of CEO. That's a completely different thing than building a business itself with all the systems and structures needed. So anyway, you guys are awesome. If you guys want to learn more about this stuff, I am, as you can't tell, extremely passionate about this. Go to capitalistpigshirt.com. And when you go to capitalistpigshirt.com, what happens is whenever you get any kind of, any swag from me, actually, or you can go to capitalismswag.com and it'll forward you to our entire Shopify store. Anything that you buy includes a free ticket to my event. And so you can go and continue learning this stuff. I'll teach you all my formulas. So, all right, you guys are awesome. Capitalistpigshirt.com, capitalismswag.com. It'll forward to a store called We Are Pigs. And again, if you want us to build your funnel, or at least even audit yours, which that's half of what people reach out to us for, can you just look at this funnel? I just want like the feel goods before I go spend all this money on ads. I'm like, yep, totally get it. All right, then just go to funneltactics.com. And that's a business that Jake Leslie and I have. Jake Leslie was Russell's top designer for 6-7 years. So you're in good hands. We know what we're doing. Awesome, guys. Thanks for listening. And let me know what you think about the episodes. Bye.